Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you are tuned in to Black Geek Movie Talk. It is Sunday, October 2nd, and we're going to be talking about Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. So I am your host, Yolanda, and I'm here with my regular co-host, Elise.
Hello.
And, yeah, so today we're going to be talking about this movie based on a book, and we're going to just get right into it. Elise, if you could give us a brief summary of the movie.
Sure. This was directed by Tim Burton. I don't really think we need to intro, of course.
Right.
Edward Scissorhands, all the good stuff, yada, yada, yada. Written by Jane Goldman, the screenplay written by Jane Goldman, who also did Kick-Ass, X-Men First Class, and Kingsman, Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on a bestseller written by Ransom Riggs. It's about this young kid who's very close with his grandfather. Something happens to his grandfather, and that kind of propels him on this journey to go to Wales and kind of figure out if the stories that his grandfather has been telling him are true. He's trying to find, you know, some answers. And so he's kind of transported into this magical world, which is inhabited by Miss Peregrine, played by Eva Green, and her assortment of gifted or peculiar children. Samuel Jackson plays the big bad, and he's out to get the kids and Miss Peregrine, and Asa Butterfield, who plays the main character Jake, has to defeat Sam Jackson.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's a great summary. So let's talk briefly. A segment of the show we always do is talking about feelings or expectations going into the movie. So of course, as we both mentioned, this is based on a book. I had not read the book. Had you, Elise?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. So in terms of, like, knowing the story before going in, neither one of us did. Heard about it. I know my book club that I'm a part of, this has come up a couple of times as a choice to read. We haven't chosen it yet. I've been wanting to, just because it seemed kind of creepy, kind of weird and fantastic in a good way. And so when I saw that they were doing a movie, I was like, okay, yeah, I'd like to check this out. You know, I like Eva Green. I like, typically she's fun to watch, her choices, whatever she's doing is fun. And this was like, seemed like right, like in her, her dollhouse, for lack of a better way of saying it, you know. So I like, obviously, Tim Burton, it's a fantastic. So I had good feelings. Mm. Okay. What about you, Elise?
Yeah, I was really excited. I was like, I immediately thought about Harry Potter. And then Tim Burton, of course, I was excited to see him back. And I like Asa Butterfield, the kid who plays Jake, the main protagonist.
Uh-huh.
I liked him in Ender's Game, even though,
right,
you know, that wasn't a great movie. But, yeah, I was like, Tim Burton is, like, right back. This is perfect for him. The cast seemed great. I was like, oh, this will be great. I was looking forward to it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so with that said, so let's talk about strengths of the movie first. What stood out for you? I will just get it started by saying, after we saw the movie and thinking about it, overall, I really liked, of course, not having read the book and not really knowing anything, I liked, I guess, the premise, the idea of, you know, children who are unique in some sort of way, and they're off on some remote hidden place that you can't get to without sort of having something special about you, and You know, and then the protector of these special people, they're all these creatures are special themselves, and they're the only ones who can do the da-da-da. I also loved, there was a really huge, dark, horrifying sort of many aspects to this, you know, that I wasn't expecting, like, genuinely really creepy. I mean, a couple of times I was like, really? This is what we're doing? Is this a children's book? Because I know there were a lot of kids in the theater when we went to see it, and I was like, I don't know that I'd want my little kid, you know, going to see this.
Yeah.
I mean, some genuinely things that I I don't know if that's appropriate. I loved it because I wasn't expecting it, and it was great for me as an adult. So that's, I will start saying, for me, the overall strength is I really like the premise, the ideas that are presented in this, you know, like this dark fantasy and, you know, like sort of classic sort of things. That was the overall strength for me, one of the big things. What about for you, Elise?
I thought the cast was the biggest strength. Like we mentioned, Asa Butterfield, Ava Green, who's kind of like, it's almost like his role was written for her. like a creepy Mary Poppins.
Yes.
You know?
Totally. Oh my God, that's perfect.
Judy Dench, and then Sam Jackson. So, Chris O'Dowd playing.
Yeah. Yes.
Kind of the,
neither had I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bumbling, ineffectual, kind of like awkward father.
Yes.
And then all the kids looked like weird and goony.
So
I thought that the cast was probably the biggest strength.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's funny that, before we get into negatives, let's see. Okay. So you're talking about that you felt like the cast was a strength I mentioned this overall story and other, is there anything else that stood out for you as a strength? I don't recall music. I wasn't aware of any, like, music for,
no.
Like, maybe the beginning. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, maybe. I was going to say, there weren't too many, like, over-the-top costumes, but I did like Miss Peregrine's suit.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the way they dress Asa Butterfield's character. He felt like out of time, even when he was in 2016. He still kind of had like this James Dean 1950s thing going on with the jeans rolled up and the boots.
That's true. And it was like he didn't stick out. You know, sort of like a Marty McFly going back to the 50s. Like, he obviously had a very strong, you know, he didn't. I noticed that, too.
Yeah.
It was like they dressed him so that he could sort of slip in and out. He wasn't any one particular strong. And I'm sure they did that on purpose. I noticed it was Colleen Atwood, I believe, was the costume designer. And she's, when I saw her name, I love her. She's like my fave. I'm gonna make sure I'm speaking the truth. I'm pretty sure I saw her name on this.
Yeah,
I'll have to come back. Did you see it? Did you look it up really quick? It was her?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was
her.
Yeah.
Okay. She's fabulous. I mean, I think that she's worked with Tim Burton before. I'll have to fact check this too. I think she was the one who came up with that iconic, you know, when they did the first Alice in Wonderland, and that picture of Johnny Depp as the Mad Hatter. I remember people, that was like, when that picture came out, I don't know if this is just me being super sensitive to the look of things and, like, costuming or whatever, but I felt like, in my world, people went, like, nuts. Like, oh, my God. Because I remember then the next thing you saw was obviously, you know, that costume was, like, popular. Like, you could buy, like, at different, like, costume places or whatever. It was so just, you know, everybody, you know, copycatting it. They're trying to. So it was fabulous. She's fabulous. Yeah, so the costuming, you know. And then also talking about the cast, one of the strengths I think Tim Burton has is in picking actors for his things. He has like, this trademark thing that I feel he does, especially with like his female leads, that they have this, even if they're not supposed to be creepy, I feel like there's a touch of maybe not creepiness to them, but a touch of something, they're a little bit odd. And if you, if they push just a little bit more to the left or the right or whatever, they would be creepy. It would be scary. There's something about them and the way he picks the characters, there's something about them that are sort of like otherworldly. I don't know if it's their eyes. I don't know the color of their hair. I don't know what it is. But there's something that he does so that it's almost like the costume folks really don't have to do much because he's already cast these actors who already like look weird, and so all you're doing really is being inspired by, like, you don't have to go too far, you know, to really have them embody this otherworldly like weirdness kind of thing. I don't know how else to describe it. But that's what I felt like is what happened in this movie, too, when you're talking about the cast, especially the children, especially the children. You know, because we know Sam Jackson, we know Ava Green, you know, we kind of know Asa Butterfield. But those kids, you know, we aren't as familiar in big name people. I mean, I think the main girl, like the love interest, I'm looking her up again. Who is she? Ella Purnell. I've probably seen her face before, but she's not, I mean, she's not Sam Jackson.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you could take her and have her be in this world, and you completely believe her, you know?
Yeah.
Because you don't really know her from a whole bunch of other things. Not well known. So, okay. So, are there any other positives that we want to talk about before we, and we can always come back to positives,
but
is there anything else?
No.
Okay.
No.
the way you said no was kind of, okay. So let me start by saying, okay, so you said that you thought one of the strengths was cast. And what's interesting to me is because I actually felt like that was a positive, but it was also a negative. And I don't know. Okay. Let me try and explain what I was thinking. I don't know if it was the cast or if it was particular points in the actual screenplay or if it was editing. But there were certain moments in the film where I felt like there was an awkwardness. Like, lines would be delivered, and there would be too long of a pause or something before the next line.
Yes.
Or a line was delivered, and it seemed like the person was unsure if that was the take we're going to go with. I don't know, but it happened several times in the film, and I was like, well, that felt really awkward right there. Why does that feel awkward to me? And again, like I said, I don't know if it was the actual screenplay. I don't know if it was maybe the editing. Maybe they, you know, should have chopped it faster so there wasn't long, awkward pauses where there shouldn't have been, or if it was just the acting. I don't know.
Yeah.
I felt like maybe it was a combination of all three at different parts, but that was the definite, that stood out a lot. And I felt like it could have been a lot stronger of a film had they maybe maybe try those lines again or those moments again, or re-edited much smaller, much stronger. But those were like blaring, or glaring negatives for me. This is like awkward as a moviegoer. I'm like, why are we? Why do I feel awkward? Like, why? That didn't feel good. Can we try that again? What about for you, Elise? You said also you felt also the cast was a strength and a weakness. What did you mean?
Yeah, on paper, it seems like you can't lose. Like on paper, everybody seemed perfectly cast, but for some reason, something was really off. And like you said, at some points, I was like, this dialogue should have been rewritten in places. Like some of the jokes didn't hit for me. And I love Samuel L. Jackson, you know.
Yes.
Love him. But
yes.
In some places he seemed really cartoonish and over the top and just not convincing. Like,
no,
and I was laughing at it, but not in the right. It wasn't like, he's doing a great job. It was like, this is ridiculous. And even, like, Chris O'Dowd, he has not mastered an American accent. And I don't know if it was noticeable only because I know what he really sounds like. Maybe if I was not familiar with him at all, it wouldn't have, you know, even, I wouldn't even have noticed it. But it was very noticeable to me that he has not mastered an American accent yet. It just sounded, in certain places, it was like, he does not sound like an American. Karen Stamp, who played the grandfather, I thought there were moments with him, too, that were awkward.
Really awkward.
Yeah, and so I don't know. And then when something like that happens, when you have a great cast on paper, but their performances don't come off, I have to look at the director. Like, because it's his call. I mean, he's the one that says, all right, we got it, let's move on. Or, you know what, I'm going to need you to try that again, but not
but
be bad.
Don't suck.
Right.
That's interesting. That's a really interesting point, because like you said, if it's like these really, really, you know, well-known and normally strong actors that are coming off as awkward, where's the fault? Maybe it is the director. You're absolutely right, because they're the ones that say, unless I'm confused about what's director, unless we're both confused, I thought, that it was the director that says, yeah, that's good. Let's go on to the next bit. There's nobody else who does that.
Right.
It's not the gap, man. It's not the cinematographer.
Right.
It's not the cinematographer. It's not the caterer. Caterer doesn't say, all right, that looks good. It's the director. That's really weird. Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out who was the most painful. I'm going to tell you something. I feel like just about every single person in this had an awkward moment. I'm being real honest. I'm trying to figure out who was the most painful for me. I mean, like you said, Sam Jackson was painful because he really did come off, rather than a villain I was frightened of, as like cartoony and over the top. And something wasn't right, so I didn't like that. I also felt like Terrence Stamp was painful for me. Because here's this older actor, and I felt bad. I felt bad. I was like, oh, my God. we really, this is what we're going to let him do. This is what's going to go up on the screen for audiences to watch. That upset me. That upset me. And then, yeah, like you said, Chris O'Dowd, I mean, I don't think I've seen him do most of everything we've seen him do, even when he's in an American film, like A Bridesmaid. He was in Bridesmaid,
mm-hmm.
and he still
yeah.
speaks with the Irish accent. He doesn't, so,
yeah.
and I mean, Terrence Stamp is supposed to be his father. His father had the accent. Why couldn't they just write it in there that he spent his formative years in Ireland or whatever and let him have his Irish accent? I think it would
yeah.
have been so much better. Like, some of the lines that he delivered would have been 100 times funnier if he,
yeah.
they would have
yeah.
just let him speak it in his natural accent. 100 times funnier. I guarantee it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But seriously, I felt like I don't think there was anybody in the cast who didn't have an awkward moment, except for maybe Strong Girl, Lil Bronwyn.
Yeah.
Some of the actors that didn't
yeah.
really have lines. They didn't really have lines,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
So maybe they didn't have awkward moments because there were no lines to deliver. They were just they were more like doing things versus having to speak lines. But I think everybody had awkward moments. I mean, even between Asa and Emma, was that the little love interest name?
Oh,
was
God,
Emma?
Yeah.
There were moments between the two of them. I was like, what's happening? Why is this happening? Why don't you make them do that again? And again, like I said, I don't know if it was, like, the pause was too long. Maybe they could have, you know, cut it quicker
yeah.
and moved on
mm-hmm.
to the next thing. I don't know, but I was like, why are we just sitting here in awkwardness for, like, it felt like 25 years. And I know it wasn't that long, but I was like, they could move on. We get it. They're young, you know, they're making moonlight,
yeah.
they're awkward, and I get that. But we don't have to...
Mm-hmm.
You've crossed the line between, like, young love and awkward and sweet into this is creepy and I'm uncomfortable and I want to go home.
Yeah. yeah.
And that
you know?
Was, like, the whole love, and I went back and I was like, well, how old are they? Because the
yeah.
whole little love story that was happening, like you said, felt really uncomfortable to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked and I was
mm-hmm.
like, well, they're 19. They're teenagers.
Mm.
I mean, that's okay. That's normal. But watching
mm-hmm.
the movie, I was just like, this is weird. Like, why? I don't know. I mean, that could be just, I don't know if that's like, I think that's more like a personal thing than like a fault of the filmmakers. But all I can say is watching it felt awkward.
Yeah. It was really uncomfortable. Now, when you say that
yeah.
you looked it up and they were 19, what do you mean? Like, in real life, they're both 19, or their characters?
Yeah,
19?
In real life, they're 19. I mean, they're teenagers. Because
okay.
I was like, why are we watching little kids, like, you know, but they're, I mean, they're not little kids. I mean, they've gone through puberty. you know.
I know. Oh, and they're obviously not little kids. Obviously, you know, they were one of the older children. Obviously, they weren't like the 9 and the 12-year-olds. Obviously, they're at least, you know, 16, 17 to me. They were, you know, because they had the younger kids, and then they had a set of, like, older kids, like Olive, and what was his name, Enoch?
Enoch, yeah.
they were obviously the older set. I mean, they were older. No, they're not grown at, you know, grown people that have had several lovers, but I don't know. Like I said, there's a difference between, because we've seen like the sort of like teen, you know, love story, and it just, I think it was like timing. I think a lot of it had to do with like the timing of the way that the lines were delivered and like leaving the camera on them too long. I mean, I don't know. Did you feel like they had no chemistry? Like, what was the problem?
I don't, maybe they, yeah, maybe it was that they didn't have chemistry. Yeah.
And, I mean, because if these were, I mean, because if you think that, you know, sometimes they have to do two or three takes, and you have to think, oh, these are the best takes, these are
Yeah.
into the film? Well, maybe they just didn't have any chemistry. I don't know. But that was huge. Okay, so we talked about the casting, timing. Is it the director's fault? Is it editing? What else was like a big failing? Or was that really the biggest? Was the cast
that,
for some reason?
That was pretty big, but I think all the other thing for me that I didn't like is it. I didn't think it looked all that great. I was waiting for okay, I loved the actual house, Miss Peregrine's
mm-hmm.
house. That was great,
mm-hmm.
but like the I don't know. I was like, oh, it's Tim Burton. I was ready for like Sleepy Hollow. You know, Edward Scissorhands, like that dark kind of. And it was just too. I didn't, and even some of the. I don't want to give any spoilers here, but like the some of the CGI bad guys. Lame to me. I didn't really like I just wasn't too impressed.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I think because of the world that they, I don't know, it's hard to say because I feel like I was going to say, this isn't Alice in Wonderland, okay? So he couldn't go he couldn't go way off because it's taking place for the most part in a real world. So, what else could he do besides, what was done, with the way that the characters were dressed and the casting of them and the makeup? What else could really be done? And I actually, one of the things I like is those creepy CGI. I want to see those. I want to be on a ride or something. I was thinking, these are fantastic. These are like natural. I feel like it's amalgamation of like something that I've seen, a couple of things I've seen before, but all put together in one thing that's like terrifying and awesome. I want to be in some sort of virtual reality ride where those things come at me. I don't know. That's all I was thinking. I was like, this is fat. I love these things. They're terrifying. And it was another one of those things where I was like, this is not appropriate for kids. I don't know that I would want my 8-year-old, or 7-year-old niece going to see this. I don't know if this is really that appropriate. But, okay. Believe it or not, we've got less than 2 minutes. And yeah. So we got to wrap this up. We're probably going to go over. But how many, if you were going to rate this, well, first of all, is there anything else really important that you had to say about this, whether negative or positive, that you wanted to mention?
I don't, were you bored? I got kind of bored. I wasn't,
yes.
It was like, there. I was like lacking this like magic, something was missing to make it like enchanting and enthralling and just like I got kind of bored. I was like, all right, let me just say we're in the loop. What?
That's a really good point. Okay, we're about to go up there in 6 seconds. I'm going to say really quick. That we're going to be back on October 30th for our special Halloween show, Sunday, October 30th at 1:30, our normal time. It'll be a special Halloween show. We're going to do a summary like we've done for the past, 2-3 years of some of the Halloween films that we've seen. Okay, I got that out. Now, yes, some of it was the pacing. I think that's editing, though. I think that's editing.
Yeah.
I absolutely felt the same way. I was sort of twisting in my chair. It just felt like it went on for far too long. Far too long. And I think it was editing. Like, they could have cut some things, cut it shorter, maybe cut down those awkward pause moments. Cut a lot of those, and they would have had, it would have moved quickly. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, I absolutely felt the same way. I felt the same way where I was, like, starting to twist in my seat, and I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I want them to wrap this up. Yeah, absolutely. I think that was editing. And editing. I don't know. Maybe we didn't need to see, what was that little boy who was a movie projector head? He turned out to, like, I understand, like, you have to, he's in the book, I guess, and so you have to show him, but he turned out to not really be necessary. He really had no purpose for me.
Neither did the little girl in the pink dress. I was like, oh, okay.
Why is she here? Yeah. Yeah, she didn't really add much either. She didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe they
at
had
least
bigger
didn't
parts
spend a lot of time with her though.
No, but that was those were crucial moments that maybe could have made it go faster because she had at least 5 minutes, and little projector boy had a good 5 minutes, good 5-8 minutes that could have been vital to maybe. You know, a quicker pace so that you were more engaged and more involved. And then again, you know, and cutting out the awkwardness between Emma and Jake. Cut it. Mm-hmm. Some of their scenes were not necessary.
Yeah.
Because I didn't understand. And making moon eyes, awkward moon eyes, I didn't understand.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, I get up with the, I know we have to quit. Okay. I know what was making that a little awkward to me, their romance, too, is because they intimated that she had a similar relationship with his grandfather.
Mm.
I was like, this is weird. Okay.
Well, wait a minute, Elise. Wait a minute. It's not like she slept with him. She didn't sleep with the grandpa.
Still weird. It was my interpretation of the script was that her heart was broken, and so that's why she was not. So something happened. You know, I understand as kids. You know, they were. You know.
Oh,
but
geez.
I'm like, this is not. I don't know. So okay, I'll leave it at that. That. Was,
I think it was just young, innocent, 1940s, totally G-rated, innocent, like it was going somewhere, like with Jake's character, it was going somewhere, but then it got cut short. And she, that was why her heart was broken, because look, she's not like she's meeting a whole lot of boys. So one boy in like 100 years or whatever, and then his doppelganger or whatever shows up. So it's not going to be like a normal teenage girl, you know.
Oh,
she really
looks like her grip.
Right. So that wasn't weirdness for me. For me, the weirdness was I just didn't think they had any chemistry. I felt like the lines were awkward and they paused. Far too long. There were moments where I was like, somebody missing a line?
Too many pauses.
Is somebody supposed to say something here? Because I don't know why we're just looking at you two. But yeah. But that's a really good point. Yeah, pacing was a really big problem. And I just think it was editing. Yeah. So, okay. So, let's rate this. How many stars? 0 to 5. 0 being the worst thing ever. 5 does not exist. At all, ever. We've not seen a movie yet where somebody's given it a 5. That would be like perfection. But what would you give this? 0 to 5.
This is tough. 2.5. 2.
Okay.
2. If I'm honest, I'm just gonna give it a 2. I enjoyed that.
Oh. Okay. I'm gonna give it a 2.5 because, huh?
Mm-hmm. No, I'll 2.5. It wasn't, I'll say 2.5, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, for me, there were moments that, like, I really enjoyed some of the creepier aspects. I liked the ideas, you know, because I don't think the ideas were, you know, were done a disservice by some of the negatives that we were talking about. Because essentially, like I said at the beginning, I like the idea that these odd children, they're on a remote location that you can't get to until, unless you yourself are special. They're guarded by a special. And then there's these creepy aspects when you figure out who, what the bad guys are after. That was terrifying. I mean, it was not for children. Not for children. And I thought that was fabulous. Yeah. So I'm still going to give it a 2.5, even with all the negatives that we talked about. So that being said, we are out of time. We've been out of time. And I'll just say that we'll be back October 30th for our special Halloween show. So exciting. Sunday, October 30th at 1:30 p.m., we'll be back talking about some of the Halloween movies that came out this year. So until then, hope you guys tune in again. Thanks for listening. Bye.